to Mr. Boehringer, the mayor, who was so happy to see us. And he had an idea. He found us a place to live, and he had an idea. All the stores were closed, no shops open. All the soldiers, the Americans, the French that were there, the occupation forces, wanted souvenirs. So he had the idea that there was a little store that some guy who owned it, some big Nazi, left. And with his connection and my mother's ambition and strength, could open a shop for the Allied soldiers only, which they did. There was no merchandise that one could buy. So we made souvenirs. Mother and I would sit at night, my father too, but he did more of the writing stuff. And she made her pillows out of whatever fabric he, the mayor, with his connections, could get. Again, she made her famous pillows. I would write souvenir of Germany on empty cardboard boxes that we got somewhere on pencils. We opened the shop like at noon. The word got around. They were soldiers, Americans. This used to be French territory. Then it became American. They sat on the sidewalk waiting for the shop, which was called Valeria, which was the name of the mayor's daughter, to open for a couple of hours. We sold our souvenirs, went home, and started making more souvenirs. And eventually, other stores opened. Few, but they did. But Valeria stayed as a little gift shop. And it was in 1952 that this American soldier came in. Mother didn't know much English, but learned quickly. And any American soldier, you know, they were our friends, our liberators. And this young man came in. I'll show you a picture of him. Mm-hmm. And he started talking to Mother, who didn't know much English, but that didn't stop her from talking. If they didn't understand her, that wasn't her fault, it was theirs. So she was just making conversation. And he showed her what he wore around his neck, which was a mezuzah. A mezuzah is a Jewish sign, just like the Star of David is a sign. He showed it to her. And wow, a Jewish American, that's instant family. And she, of course, invited him to go home. She would fix him a home-cooked meal. And this young soldier from New York, from Brooklyn, and I became friends. And then when he left, a few months after that, we continued to write. And he asked if I would come to the United States and we'd get married. Of course. What a question. First of all, he was so much fun to be with. Herb Unterman had a great sense of humor. He was an American. Anything American was to me magical. And I met people, soldiers and their families, and wow, that was the real good world. Then started this, well, how am I going to get papers? We didn't have any money. He didn't, and we didn't. So he had an idea. His family had relatives in Toronto, in Canada. And I found out that it was much easier to get a visa to Canada. So under a false pretense, I managed to do that. And I left in late January 1952 on a ship, Cynthia Cunard Line, through Paris to Halifax, took a train to Toronto, where Herb and his parents waited for me. And we were married in the Holy Blossom Temple 2 days after I arrived on February 4th, 1953. And I had to stay 6 months in Toronto to get papers to come to the United States. And I then, of course, studied for the citizenship, which was very important to me and still is.
Where did you enter the United States?
We went to Niagara Falls and entered through there. Okay. on legal papers. I'm a legal citizen, and I have spoken to naturalization groups of people who became citizens, and I never take anything in this country for granted. I appreciate what it stands for and believe in it. Of course, now I have lived here so long, but it's so easy for people to take it for granted. Wow, there is no place on earth like the United States. There are people who are unfortunate, but the idea of the U.S., that everybody has a chance to persevere, to make whatever dreams they have possible, it is just as real now as it was when I came here in 1953.